This episode of the Quest for Quality podcast is brought to you by Thrive Market. Thrive Market is on a mission to make healthy living easy and affordable for everyone. To receive a special discount code for 15% off of your first order, email Tim at inboundpodcasting.com.
Welcome to the Quest for Quality podcast with keynote speaker Joe Higgins.
In terms of Quest for Quality, this is really about living a quality life, having a quality career. If you always aim for quality in your life, you will almost always find success at some point in the longer term.
For decades, Joe has shared his quest for quality message with thousands of business professionals across the country.
Some of you may know our keynote speaker. I would tell you he's a legend in the industry, and it's great to see him back with us.
I've had the privilege and honor introducing some very famous speakers to you. They were all great speakers and showed you how a winning attitude brings success. But our next speaker is even better. Joe Higgins has walked in our shoes. Joe's the only speaker in our history that we've invited to talk to us 2 years in a row.
The Quest for Quality podcast presents a universal message under the umbrella of four areas of Joe's unprecedented experience and expertise. Leadership. Building healthy teams. Customer service. Understanding the American economy.
I'm trying to let people get that message that it's taken me, 40 years to learn. I've had a lot of experience. I've gone through major levels of an organization. I've trained and worked with and supervised thousands of people over my career and created leaders at the Whirlpool Corporation today that are running the company. So hopefully what I bring here in this thing is allowing people to live a better life and a better quality of life.
As we open up this edition of the Quest for Quality podcast, let's remind our listeners that Quest for Quality is a universal message that can be utilized by the majority of American corporations and for individuals who are looking for ways to improve their lives. Joe Higgins, founder of Quest for Quality, spent decades with the Whirlpool organization as a national director of sales for North America, now spends his retirement as a convention keynote speaker, sharing his experience and principles that helped shape the Whirlpool organization into a Fortune 150 company. Some of the topics Joe covers in his presentations include the American economy and the direction the economy is headed over the next 10 years, building high-performance cultures, building healthy teams, customer service, and one of Joe's most popular presentations and the subject of our next series, leadership. Joe, before we open the series on leadership, take us back early in your career with the Whirlpool organization. And give us your experience with the development and later the execution of your leadership style.
Well, let me take you back to my first big job, 1987. I took over the western half of the United States. And that's about the time that Whirlpool was really getting engaged in creating leadership in organizations. Mm-hmm. I started going to various classes that Whirlpool had. They put us into like a school situation where we learned about leadership, understood what it meant. And I started speaking to teams all over the western half of the United States. And I did that for years until about 2000 when I took over basically North America. And then I talked to bigger teams and more teams from anywhere from college graduates that just started at Whirlpool to senior directors in the company. And I did that for a number of years, again, doing research and putting together presentations. When I finally retired in 2012, people wanted me to come and talk about these subjects because they had heard about it. It had gotten through the industry. There were some industry things I had done that people listened to. And I started speaking at conventions and doing and talking about leadership. So leadership is something that every organization needs. It's not a situation I learned anyway in my career. It's not my job to get people to follow me. I don't need to have people say, oh, what does Joe do? And we're going to do whatever he tells us to do. My job, because the organization was so big and we had, literally thousands of people working for us, was to create leadership within the organization and across the organization. Because if I'm gone or if I'm out of town, there's still, let's say, 500 people doing a job. They need to be able to make decisions like I would make. And so creating leadership through every part of the organization was critical for the overall success. And that's true in a family, it's true in a small business, and it's true in a business the size of Whirlpool.
So with a business the size of Whirlpool, you have a very diverse audience for this type of presentation. You mentioned college kids to professionals that have been with the company for many, many years. Is it customized to the various audiences? Do you tailor it differently for the younger people than you do for some of the veterans within Whirlpool and other organizations? Or do you think your message is a pretty broad stroke, universal, and applicable for all ages?
Well, it's actually both. I do tailor it. I tailor it for the recently graduated kids that come into Whirlpool. That, you know, what do you need at 21 to grow and be successful in an organization versus at 44, as an example? So it's tailored to that. And there are qualities of leadership I talk about to a younger group that are different than, let's say, a senior management staff. Because later on in your career, you're probably already doing pretty well in terms of being able to speak in front of groups, understanding, having a very positive attitude, learning empathy, and all the things that make a great leader. You typically know that when you reach a senior director level, but after college, it's very different. And kids can have a better career and expand their career when they understand what are the qualities that are most important that make you a leader in an organization. Because ultimately, that's what you want to get to if you want to have, you know, a very large window in terms of success in an organization.
I've found that one of the more difficult things to do as a leader is to let go of the reins a little bit, which is kind of the point, kind of what you're talking about. You need to develop people who can be leaders without you being there so that they can run their various divisions, departments, or businesses without you micromanaging. That it has to be one of the toughest things to do, is to let go of that control.
No doubt. And, you know, a lot of us that come up that make higher levels in organizations, we like the control. We like having that. But you begin to realize in a career, early in your career, I remember when I started at sales with General Electric, you know, I loved that job because whatever I did, I could affect the numbers almost immediately. I could see it. At the end of every month, I got a report that said where and who and what I was doing. And as you move up the ladder and you get further and further removed from where all the action is, you realize that you are 100% dependent on your employees for your success. And the more you do that, the more you get into your head, I've got to create leadership at that level. I got to create people who are very strong, that know what to do, how to make decisions, and can make it happen every single day and have that kind of motivation. And that's what I learned over the years, is that the further I got away from the field, the more I needed leadership. And that's why I practiced the teaching of it to such a degree that by the end of my career, I was sort of known for as someone who was a speaker and an educator around leadership in the company. And even beyond that, I think that, you know, one of the things that people know me for is the fact that many of the leaders at Whirlpool will tell you that they came up through my organization. And at one point in my career, the vice president of Whirlpool and the vice president of GE both had worked for me, were promoted by me, and ended up in very high level jobs in two very, very large companies. And that was sort of one of my hallmarks of my leadership over the years.
So what do you look for in an individual as you are trying to develop a leader within a division, department, or organization?
Well, you know, leaders, kids develop. I mean, when they first come in, there are some things I think that are important. People that are willing to work hard, that are willing to take direction, that have a little bit of edge to them, that want to know more, want to grow faster than other people. I've watched over the years as we bring kids in, and you know, some will go out and do exactly the job you give them. In other words, there's a box and you say, this is your job, and these are the five things you do. Well, we get kids that come in, well, do those five things. And okay, so that's what we ask you, and that's what's great. You know, you're doing well in this organization. There are kids that'll try to get by with doing three of those things. But the real future leaders of any organization are the kids will say, well, I can do these five, but there are other things I can learn too. I can learn about competition, or I can learn about marketing plans or advertising that other companies are doing. I can bring that to this job that they don't require me to do that's in this box. And the real leaders are the ones that say to themselves, I can be better than average. I can grow faster and grow more and produce more if I'm going above and beyond what's required for the job. I might like the requirements, but gosh, give me more. I want more. And those are the kids that are really successful in the longer term. And I've seen that over and over in the course of the time that I was in, you know, my job at Whirlpool.
So someone taking initiative, taking chances, because if they're doing something outside the box, it hasn't quite been proven yet. Otherwise, it would be in the box already, right?
right.
So if they were to take a chance, and you're looking for a young leader, and you're testing somebody, as it were, as they're getting ready to move up in the ranks, and they happen to fail, while trying something outside the box or doing a little bit more than they're asked to do. How would you handle something like that?
Well, you know, in all the years, I think one of the things I found is that people who take risks, and I always encourage my team to take risks, that when you do something and fail, you've learned a lesson for life. Mm-hmm. I had a situation one time where one of our sales guys made an $800,000 mistake with advertising with a customer. And he was a really good employee, a high-performing guy. And a lot of people asked me if I was going to fire him. And I said, fire him? Why would I fire him? I said, he will never make a mistake like that again, ever in the rest of his career. Risk-taking is a part of learning. And I think that as individuals, we all know that we grow more by the failures we have than by the successes we have. You never forget a failure, and you always try to move on past that failure. And I like to put people in situations of higher level of responsibility because we know they're going to struggle. We know they're going to have a very intense period of learning. But it's that what makes them, you know, different and unique and makes them more resilient, I think, in their future when they get into positions where they have to try things. And if they fail, they can overcome that. Far too often, I think people think, well, I failed and, you know, I'm going to lose my job and that'll be it. I've never seen it that way. I like risk takers and I like people to have learned from the failures that they've had. I think they're better employees as a result.
So this coming from somebody who was a leader within a Fortune 150 company, it's a great message, not just to those who are striving to become leaders, but for those who are leaders right now and how to handle it when somebody that they're training to take their spot someday or lead an organization or department or division, to let them fail so that they can grow.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, the other option is to, you know, bring in 20 people and let 10 of them go and then have to start all over again.
And the turnover just takes more time sucks up your resources and your energy as opposed to moving forward.
Yeah. And you invest a lot of money when you hire somebody and they work for you for a year or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years, you have a lot of investment in an individual. And the last thing you want to do is throw them out for one mistake. And if people believe that they're going to lose their job for a mistake, then you have a mediocre organization and you never get beyond these levels that we try to make in these big corporations to give the shareholders the value that they're looking for.
So we're talking about people that are already in an organization striving to become leaders. And also we're talking to those who are leaders and how they can train their junior people to become leaders someday. But what about for those recent college grads who have just started a career in business? What do they need to do to grab a leadership role today?
You know, and I talk a lot about this in my seminars. The number one thing I think, and I always say this to the kids, is your ability to communicate. You know, we go to school. Think about your life at school. You spend 12 years going through high school. You spend another 4 years in college. And in all those years, you only have one class in communication. We do a poor job, woefully poor job of training people in communication. I tell people the most important thing you can do is you come into an organization is learn how to become a better public speaker, learn how to talk in front of groups, because invariably as you make your way up and you get better and better at your job and people start to notice you, the one way you really get noticed is when you stand up for the first time in front of a senior group of managers and you tell them what you're doing in the organization or what project you've brought to them. That can make and break an entire career. I've seen kids that have come in and have just blown away an audience with how good they are. And I always wonder, you know, where did you learn that? Well, typically they're communication majors that spent, you know, 4 years in understanding communication. Most kids go to college today and they have one class, it's speech 101. Some get two, speech 101 and 102. Those are probably the most valuable levels of education you get in school today to one day to become a leader. Because if you're going to run an organization, you have to speak to the organization. You have to get the organization to want to believe in what you say, and they have to be willing to go out in the street and march for you if you're effective enough. And we don't have kids that come into business today with really effective communication skills, and it's really unfortunate. And it's unfortunate not just in business, but imagine in your personal life as well, where if you're a great communicator. I mean, people always say it. If you're a great communicator, your chances of having a great relationship in your life is better. Eat with your children, with your family, with your wife, whatever it might be. Communication is the number one thing I always tell people to do. And I have an action item on that too. I've learned that audiences today don't want entertainment. They don't want to come in and listen to a guy talk for an hour and a half and be entertained. They want to walk away with something. And this is what I tell people. Go to Toastmasters.
I was going to bring that up. Toastmasters, at any age, you can join.
Absolutely.
Fantastic organization.
It is, and they're in every city in America. And they have, in my city, I live in a small city in Claremont, California, and in my city, there are three classes a day, in the morning, at noon, at lunchtime, and then at night. And you can cover that almost anywhere you want, and you can learn how to speak in front of an audience. And if you can do that, you'll be successful.
You know, Joe, in addition to Toastmasters, one might want to consider joining a community theater program, or if we have some listeners still in high school or college, to join drama clubs or participate in school play. I've found that through the discipline of learning lines, taking stage direction, hitting your marks will dramatically make a difference in developing a comfort level of speaking in front of an audience.
That's a great, you know, I never thought about that before, Tim, but that's a great example of what you can do to learn to be a better communicator. I've learned over the years that absolutely, that anything you can do where you're in front of people and you're learning lines, that makes you different and makes you better. The example I always use is Ronald Reagan. I mean, Ronald Reagan was an actor, trained formally as an actor his whole life, and he was comfortable behind a microphone. Part of his success was, and they called him the great communicator, but part of his success was that when he stood in front of a microphone, he could speak to America just like he was an actor. And most other presidents, as you see, don't come with that kind of skill set.
And he had that ability to look through the lens at his viewer and help that person on the other side of the television feel like he was talking directly to them and not at them.
Yep.
So, Joe, we've talked about Toastmasters as a great organization for somebody looking to build their communication skills to become a better leader. What are some of the other leadership resources that you can recommend to somebody trying to build their leadership skills?
Well, one of my like is a book by a guy by the name of Malcolm Gladwell. Mm-hmm. And it's called The Outliers. And it's a book about people who have extraordinary performances over their lives. I mean, people like Michael Jordan and, you know, high achieving individuals like that. That's who he talks about in the book. And I always tell kids when they come in that you can be successful, but it really depends on how hard you're willing to work. That a lot of times people come in and they think it's all about talent. You know, I've had audiences where on one side of the room, the kids on one side of the room look across the other side and say, gee, I wish I could be as talented as that group over there. I would be really successful. And the other side saying the same thing. Both sides of the room believe that the talent lies on the other side. What they don't realize is that it's not about talent. There are a lot of books. There's another book called Talent is Overrated by Jeff Colvin. It's kind of like the same research or similar ideas of research that Malcolm Gladwell writes about in The Outliers. But in The Outliers, Malcolm Gladwell talks about kids who have made it to a certain level of music school. Once they get into a very high level music school, this is what he says, and I'll read this. This is his quote. He says, the striking thing about Erickson's study, and that's the study about these kids who were admitted to a top music school, he and his colleagues couldn't find any naturals. In other words, musicians who floated effortlessly to the top while practicing a fraction of their time. He said, nor could they find any grinds, people who worked harder than everybody else, yet didn't have what it takes to break in the top ranks. The research suggests that once a musician has enough ability to get into a top music school, the thing that distinguishes one performer from another is how hard he or she is willing to work. So I tell kids, hey, you want to succeed? Then put in the time. Go beyond what everybody else does. If someone's working 8 hours, put in 10 hours. But put in those 10 hours in a way that you're learning about the business and about it is what you're going to lead someday in an organization.
So it's not just working harder, it's working smarter as well, too. But the time is important, too. I heard you say one time that it takes 10,000 hours at one particular task for one to become an expert.
That's what Malcolm Gladwell says. That's out of The Outliers. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly right. That's what he found when he looked at people like Michael Jordan. There was a kid at a high school here near where I live in Glendora. His name was Tracy Murray. And I was told that what he did is every day after practice, all the other kids would leave the basketball court and he would spend an hour and a half on the court practicing one day his dribbling, practicing the next day his foul shooting, practicing the next day jump shots, and so on. By the end of his senior year, he was one of the most highly sought after basketball players in the country and ended up going to UCLA, was an all-star there, played 4 years there, and went on to play for the Washington Wizards and the Portland Trailblazers and a few other teams, but had a really great pro career. In Tracy Murray's case, it was about a guy who was willing to go that extra mile to do the things that affected his sport in a way that made him one of the top performing athletes in the country at the time. And that's how it is in business. It's saying, hey, this is what the job is. I said this earlier. This is what the job is. I want to learn all aspects of it. Some kids will learn what's in the box. Some kids will take it further than that. And it's based on what Malcolm Gladwell says. You want to be successful, put in the time, take the 10,000 hours, become the expert, And, you know, your road is open to anything you want to do.
So that is applicable to somebody who just plain wants to succeed. But what about leadership? How does that tie into leadership? Just showing that you're willing to take the effort and take the initiative to become successful basically shows that you have leadership skills right off the top.
Well, yeah, and leadership is about example. So, you know, there's, I had, when I first went to work at GE, I had a boss that said, don't do as I do, do as I say. And that used to drive me crazy because I always thought that leadership was about watching somebody, following them around and seeing what they do and acting like they do. And, you know, if you're willing to be that person that puts in the time, that gets to be the expert, that knows everything about the business, people will say, that's what I want to be like. They'll follow you in your organization and try to act and walk and talk like you do. And if you do that, you'll be successful. So that's where that comes from.
Thanks, Joe. Well, coming up in our next episode in the Quest for Quality podcast, we'll continue our series on leadership and discuss the power of positivity. Joe will give you a few very simple techniques that he successfully utilized during his many decades with GE and the Whirlpool organization. We'll also cover some of the vital skills one needs to have to run a Fortune 150 company. And if you haven't already, we invite you to subscribe to the Quest for Quality podcast. Of course, it's absolutely free. And if you're interested in contacting Joe Higgins to speak to your organization or at your convention, hop on over to www.q4qwithjoe.com. That's Q4qwithjoe.com. Hit the Request Joe button, fill out the form, and we'll get right back to you. Thanks again for listening in. We'll catch you next time for another edition of the Quest for Quality with Joe podcast.